Talking talk and breaking news on Talk Radio 680 WCBM, Baltimore, and WCBM.com.
Puerto Rico braces for more problems. I'm Jack Callahan, Fox News. 3 days after being pummeled by Hurricane Maria, Puerto Rico is now facing more heavy rain, up to 6 inches today, on top of the deluge delivered earlier this week. The pressures of the floodwaters putting a large dam in jeopardy of failing. Rescuers using school buses to evacuate 70,000 people downstream from the dam. Power is still out on much of the island. Restoration time still not clear.
It's hard to estimate. So, yeah, obviously, we're still trying to obtain situational awareness as to the level of damage. And that's been tough to do today because of communications capabilities being knocked out.
FEMA Administrator Brock Long on Fox's special report says they are giving satellite phones to rescue teams to help improve emergency communications. 21 states confirm they've been told by the Department of Homeland Security there were attempted cyber intrusions into their voter registration systems last fall.
In most cases, the systems weren't actually breached. The Colorado Secretary of State's office likening the hack to reconnaissance by a bad guy trying to figure out how to break into a computer. Several states telling AP the hacking attempts could be linked to Russia, but federal officials aren't confirming that. The specific targets included voter registration systems, not the software that tallies votes.
Fox's Lisa Brady, a no vote the administration didn't count on. Senator John McCain saying he will vote against the Graham-Cassidy bill, an attempt to repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act. At a campaign rally in Alabama Friday night, President Trump suggesting Senator McCain hasn't been straight with Arizona voters.
Because John McCain, if you look at his campaign, his last campaign, was all about repeal and replace. Repeal and replace.
A vote is scheduled in the Senate late next week. One more GOP defection and that vote would fail. President spoke at that rally in Alabama for Senator Luther Strange, who faces former Judge Roy Moore in Tuesday's Alabama Senate primary. Fox News. Fair and balanced.
Unexpected reactions to smart financial decisions brought to you by FeedThePig.org.
Well, I finally did it. My student loan is totally paid off.
I can't believe it.
I can't believe it either. I paid more than the minimum each month, and soon enough, it was gone.
So you're just giving up?
Giving up on what?
The life of luxury. Egyptian cotton, caviar Thursdays, designer everything.
What are you talking about?
Our plan. What happened to winning the lottery and mastering the art of the perfect mimosa? Hosting galas, wearing enough jewelry to require a bodyguard, vacationing in the French Riviera, and then buying it.
I just thought maybe it was time to prepare for my future. You know, set some financial goals, make some smart investments, open a 401k.
Financial goals? Investments? A 401k? You are horrifying right now. Listen, if winning the lottery were easy, everyone would do it.
When it comes to financial stability, don't get left behind. Get tools and tips for saving at feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
A chance to visit the museum today. In fact, hundreds of them for free.
It's Smithsonian Museum Day Live, an annual event sponsored by Smithsonian Magazine. At least 1,300 museums nationwide are taking part in this year's event, including Anchorage Museum, the largest in Alaska, and the Hawaii State Art Museum in Honolulu. To get free admission, go to smithsonianmag.com/museumday and download a Museum Day Live ticket. In Washington, Rachel Sutherland, Fox News.
The war against terror in Afghanistan, now America's longest armed conflict. The president of Afghanistan, finally, with a message for those who served there.
I'm truly grateful, and on behalf of a grateful people, a grateful state, a grateful commander-in-chief, and a grateful president, I want to say thank you to you.
President Ashraf Ghani hosting veterans who served in Afghanistan and families of soldiers who died there at a private reception in New York on Friday. A jury in Savannah, Tennessee, convicting a man in the kidnapping, rape, and murder of 20-year-old Holly Bobo, who disappeared 6 years ago. Jury returns later today to decide if Zachary Adams should get the death penalty. With a ceremony today, an Oklahoma priest a step closer to becoming an American saint.
A statue of Father Stanley Rother with a Guatemalan child stands outside Holy Trinity Catholic Church in his hometown of Okarchi, Oklahoma, honoring the pastor who became a missionary to Guatemala in the 1960s, where he was shot and killed by rebels in 1981. Pastor John Peters tells Fox News it was a life marked by heroic virtue.
God has recognized humble and simple priest. You know, the hardships. He was a farmer.
Pope Francis declared Rother a martyr last year, setting the stage for a beatification ceremony. Jeff Manasso, Fox News.
And I'm Jack Callahan, Fox News Radio.
WCBM, Baltimore.
Forecast looking warm this weekend, even though it is officially fall now. Fall equinox yesterday, and temperatures this afternoon for Saturday afternoon, the upper 80s near 90 for Sunday as well. So warm numbers throughout the weekend. Jose and Maria staying just far enough east and away from us to not provide any worrisome impacts. I'm Scott Laurie Moore, the Weather Channel for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
I'm Brian from 1-800-GOT-JUNK. And this is my Baltimore partner, Alan Clue.
It's 2 a.m. and you're here. You're really here.
You've got a business that can't move forward until this crisis is resolved, right?
We can't open in the morning unless all this mess is cleaned up.
All you have to do is point, sir.
That's when the magic happens.
I thought that was just a gag you did in your ads.
A lot of people think that until they point at something. Go ahead. Give it a try.
Well, that's the problem, right? Whoa, that really is magic.
All you have to do is point.
Is there room on the truck for that, too? And how about that? And that? And that?
When your business is in crisis because something needs to be hauled away, we're here for you 24/7, 365.
You guys take this full service thing to a whole new level.
Call 1-800-GOT-JUNK or visit 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com.
Let's make your retirement great with a line of credit that is guaranteed to grow to give you access to more money. There is no other line of credit like this. The reverse mortgage equity line growth can be used to help meet any of your obligations, and best of all, it never needs to be renewed. Like all reverse mortgage products, there are no monthly payments, and the money you receive is tax-free. I'm Mark McVeary. Call me at 410-788-7070, 410-788-7070, or visit us at rmanswers.com. That's rmanswers.com.
The views and opinions you hear on Talk Radio 680, WCBM, and WCBM.com are not necessarily those of the owners, management, employers, and advertisers of WCBM. But they should be. The following is a paid program on WCBM.
Talk Radio 680, WCBM.
The following WCBM program has been pre-recorded at this time.
The Outdoorsman Radio Show is brought to you by Ellis Outdoors, LLC. This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Outdoorsman Radio Show. We're pre-recorded this morning where Robin and I are actually participating in National Hunting and Fishing Day up in Washington County at the Isaac Walton League. And if you listened to last week's show, you'll know that there's a big event going on there planned by the Maryland Department of Natural Resources and a lot of conservation organizations and groups, even some local folks up there. And we're going to be up there with the Maryland Hunting Coalition and Bucks, Bears, and Stags, which is a scoring entity here, a brand new one here in Maryland. They're going to do Maryland's first ever bear scoring event. And Fred Horn, our taxidermist buddy, a veteran for 30-some years, is going to be up there measuring bear skulls to enter them into the Maryland record book coming out in 2018. So be the first one ever. We're excited about it. We're excited about the coalition being there. Nice raffle going on with the coalition, and Robin's got some stuff planned for the kids, so it's all good. However, joining us now, also from Western Maryland, is our buddy Harry Spiker, who is the bear program project leader, head honcho, chief guy in charge of bears. Right, Harry?
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that. Yes. How many bears do we have now?
Well, right now we're estimating over 2,000 adult and sub-adults in, you know, only as far east as Frederick County. That's our bear range is Garrett, Allegheny, Washington, and Frederick counties. So that totally excludes cubs.
Totally excludes cubs.
Right.
Okay. So we did a, you did a study in, what, 2006, the first one, the population study?
The first one would have been actually 2002, I believe.
Okay.
Well, there was one way back in the 90s.
Right.
On a smaller scale, 2002, 2006.
And 11 of
2011.
It. Yeah.
And, yeah, we're switching up the, as the population grows, we're switching up how we measure it. We used to do DNA population studies, which are really labor-intensive and costly due to the DNA analysis.
Well, that was where you put a bait on a stump and surrounded it with barbed wire.
Yeah, it sounds like rocket science, doesn't it?
Very, very scientific. Of course, the bears would climb over the barbed wire, leave a hair sample.
Yep.
You'd pull out some hairs by the roots there on the barbed wire. You'd send it to the lab. I don't even know where the lab was. But
yeah, the lab we used was in West Virginia, actually.
Okay. And then they would give you the results, the DNA results, and tell you approximately how many bears that you had hitting each station, how many bears you had in general. Both those studies were only Garrett and Allegheny, if I remember right.
That's correct.
I believe the 11 study was also tried in Washington County, but the weather was...
Frederick.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
The weather blew you out with the rain, if I remember right.
Yep, that's correct. You got it.
Yep. So, and I remember a number of 650 in 2006, and I remember 13-something in... 12 or 1,300 in 2011, and now you're saying there's over 2,000 bears.
Yeah, the population's definitely been growing. And that's not just Maryland. It's a regional thing. The bears throughout the whole region are increasing. I'd say these are the good old days for black bears.
Wow, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. You know, growing up in Pennsylvania, of course, they've always had a bear season in all my memories.
Right.
And, I've had uncles and grandfathers, and, you know, they'd ride up to Potter County to try and kill a bear or something like that way back when. But now they're everywhere.
Yeah, now they're everywhere. And yeah, even the Pennsylvania guys, they don't go to those big Northwoods anymore.
Mm-mm.
They just stay home and hunt them.
That's right. Yep. Exactly right. My dear aunt, she's 87 years old. The last remaining sibling of my mother, all of them have passed except Aunt Toots, still gets on the mower, still, you know, mows her own grass, works for the cemetery next door, and, you know, every now and then, oh, we had a big bear up here, you know, and that's in Huntington County, so it's all good.
Yeah,
all
absolutely.
Good. Yep, so, but... always have a place to hunt if I need to go up there and do any bear hunting. But, you know, I've been picked three times here in Maryland in 5, 10, and 15, and actually wound up, as you know, taking a bear in 15. Not a big one, but I was very happy with it.
Absolutely.
And hunted a good property that I can't hunt anymore because the owner's passed away. So, anyway, the results of the lottery were in day after Labor Day, I believe.
Yep.
And we have 750 happy bear hunters.
Yep.
How many people actually applied for the lottery?
This year we had over 5,000.
Wow.
5,453.
5,453. That's a lot of people.
Yeah, just down from a record that was set last year. It was within 100 of last year's applicant pool. So there's definitely some interest out there.
Sure.
In bear hunting.
Sure. And, you know, the cool thing is that the rules have changed since the early days when we had to come up and sit through you making a slide presentation and showing bears on dumpsters, and you know
that'd be boring.
I thought it was pretty fascinating. You know, having participated the second year and hunted in near Frostburg, I thought it was pretty cool. That was the year we had 18 inches of snow and the power went off at the check station.
That's right. Power was out for 4 days.
Yep, exactly right.
Yeah, I know that well because I had a 1 year old little baby at home, and so my wife won't let me forget it.
I bet not.
Check station.
Mm-hmm. Your baby's at home, and we can't get power, and we're all cold, and you're out there playing with your bears, Harry.
That's right.
I hear you. Yeah, yeah. Well, we couldn't get back into the state forest out there My little S10, even in four-wheel drive, couldn't plow through the snow. So day one, and I was gone. So.
Yeah, that was a really heavy, wet snow, and, I mean, branches breaking.
Oh,
everywhere.
Man.
We have seen on bear season, we have seen everything from the very first hunt in 04. We just had picture-perfect conditions. It was 50s during the day and upper 30s at night.
Mm-hmm.
So it was perfect for the bears to move, perfect for the hunters to stay in the woods. And then we've had torrential downpours, you know, results of tropical storms.
Yep.
We've had those heavy snows. You never know what you're going to get.
No, you're right. Not Western Maryland.
Western Maryland.
When 2010, if I recall, the days were extremely warm. The year I hunted up there, mm-hmm. and the pressure, the barometer, was probably about as low as it was going to get anytime, anywhere. I mean, it was just the conditions were a weird hunting experience because there was like no wind, and I mean, you know, landowner wound up taking a bear on my permit
right.
the last night of the hunt, but we've also gone from shutting it down after, 20 bears or something
the first day? Well, yeah, because you remember the first 10 years of this hunt, it was a quota hunt.
Exactly.
A lot of people don't realize we've gotten away from that. We've loosened things up quite a bit
sure.
as time has gone on, and we did 10 years of quota hunt. We're going into year 14 this year,
right.
14th season, and now it's just a four-day season. What we get.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, what was last year, 160 something?
167, yeah.
Wow, that's a lot of nice bears.
Yeah, it sure was.
For sure. Yeah. So, there is no record. There's no record book for Maryland bears. There's no kind of record-keeping process, and we're hoping to entice all those bear hunters who've taken a bear to come out to these events and to send in their application to have their bear scored. And
absolutely.
We would love to kind of get a baseline of what we've got here in Maryland.
Yeah, so. We've got, as far as bear sizes go, we've got wonderful sizes. You know, our average tends to be around 175 pounds,
right.
the average.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the Cody Jones bear, the biggest one to date, 615.
Cody Jones. I was just down to see her mom and dad a couple of weeks ago. I'm trying to encourage them to let me borrow the skull for our first scoring event so that people can see what a giant bear actually looks like here in Maryland. That was actually a Boone and Crockett record book bear.
Oh, no doubt.
Yeah, 615.
That was a big bear.
And anybody that's ever seen the picture of the mount, the bear just looks almost unreal.
Right.
Looks like a prehistoric creature. And our buddy Donnie Travis mounted it, so we know he did a great job on it. But it's just, it wasn't a pretty bear by any means, but it was a beast as far as size-wise, 615 pounds. I don't think people understand what that is. That's three full-grown men.
Yeah, well, I can tell you, when I first saw it, it was hanging in a cooler.
Right.
And it was, its nose was at the ceiling, and its rear end was sitting on the floor.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, it was a big bear.
And Harry walked in and went, ho!
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Anybody that sees a 600-pound bear, exactly. That's a huge, monstrous thing. But you know what? Is what it is, and there's more of them out there.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, I get a lot of people ask me, about big bears, and I'll tell you what, I personally think that, that 150-pound range is about perfect because you've got that adult form. A lot of sows never get any bigger than that.
Right.
You've got that adult form, and you don't have to build an addition onto your house
exactly.
if you want to mount it.
Exactly right. Yeah, well, I can tell you from experience. I had my Maryland bear full mount. Kind of just walking very casually. I mean,
that's great.
It was standing out in the middle of a field at 200 yards and surprised me because I was, I was deer hunting.
Right.
I mean, there were 40 deer in the field and I'm pointing at all of them, and
right.
I looked to my left and there's a black spot out in the field. And I went, oh, that's a bear. And Ed, my landowner buddy, had just shot one like 20 minutes before.
Good God.
Yeah, and I looked over and there's this bear and I just swung on it and that took the shot and the rest is, as we say, history.
And all that anticipation was over.
Oh, yeah, and then the work started.
That's right.
Yeah. So.
That's right.
But yeah, we let that bear because it was, you know, last 20 minutes of daylight, and by the time we got to where the bear had run, we had good blood, but we weren't about to track it into the woods because of where we were. And you're familiar with the farm,
yeah.
You know,
yep.
Our landowner said, if you push that bear and he goes straight ahead, he'll be in Pennsylvania. If he turns to the left, he'll be in West Virginia. And we don't want him down in over that cliff into Bear Creek. So.
I was just going to say, and there's some real steep terrain
there
that you don't want to have to tangle with.
No. But the bear only went 20 yards into the woods before it expired, so I was happy to find it the next morning. So
that's
it was
great.
Good. Yeah. Yes, indeed. So what are the dates this year, Harry?
The bear hunt will take place October 23rd through the 27th, so a Monday through Thursday. The Monday through Thursday following the 3-day early muzzleloader season.
Right, okay.
And it's good in all four western counties this year. Last year we expanded to include Washington and Frederick County in the hunt area.
Right.
So real excited. You know, we had a few taken. I think we had 8 taken between those two counties last year. I'm real excited to see hunters get used to taking them in those counties as well.
Good.
So.
You know, I might have mentioned earlier that one of our directors and my adopted daughter, Laura, has pulled a tag. So,
great.
Yeah, we're trying to establish maybe a problem bear or something in Frederick County that we can hunt. And, of course, there's some good public land there as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That's what a lot of folks, you know, again, I get a lot of folks calling asking, you know, where to hunt. And the public land opportunities in western Maryland are really, really pretty amazing. You know, there's well over 100,000 acres in Garrett County alone, I'd venture to say.
Mm.
You know, Green Ridge State Forest has over 50,000 acres in Allegheny County. You know, Washington and Frederick, they've all got a lot of public hunting opportunity. And the nice thing is, with bears, you know, they've got such a big home range.
Yep.
They're not staying just on a small parcel of property.
Exactly right.
Yeah, they're traveling around and they're finding the food. You know, so anybody out there that's got a bear tag looking for a tip, find the food source. Yeah, that time of year, all they want to do is get fat for winter.
Exactly. Hang on. We'll come back to that point in just a second. We're going to take our first break of the day, and we'll be right back, okay? Hey, look, folks, it's bow season, and the folks at Chesapeake Outdoors still have some great crossbows on sale, and the clearance sale on all the Hoyt archery bows are getting ready to blow them out, close out. But they do carry a number of crossbows, the Excalibur, the Carbon Express, the 10-point, the Mission, the Barnett, and the brand-new one, Raven. That's right, the brand-new Raven crossbow. They've got them when they can get them, and you can get one right there. They've got the full line of camouflage from Banded to Under Armour. They've got firearms and ammunition by folks like Remington and Chiappa and Escort and others, muzzleloaders by Thompson Center and CVA, all the Yeti coolers and tumblers to carry your coffee and your cold drinks in, waterfowl calls, steel shot for waterfowl, all the gear, all the camo, everything you need for every type of hunting. And a lot of it's on sale right now, Chesapeake Outdoors. Chesapeake Outdoors is located on Kent Island. That's Route 50. Route 50 East, you take exit 39B, that's Dominion Road, right there in Kent Island in Chester, Maryland, and you will find Chesapeake Outdoors. You'll see them going down 50, and then you just get off 39B, Dominion Road, and you'll be right there. The number there, 410-604-2500, 410-604-2500. Their friendly staff is ready to serve you. We'll be right back after this. Alan Ellis here for Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie Spray-On Bedliners. Linex Spray-On Bedliners rated number 1, carrying nationwide lifetime warranty. Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, your crabbing and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose the Linex Premium Bedliner or the Linex Extra. Both look great. And Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards. You get it. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex Spray-On Bedliner, truck gear and accessories. Catonsville Linex, new location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill, just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford, 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Linex.
Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Hey, Harry, you were, when we left, you were talking about, you know, find the food source.
Yeah.
Okay. So sometimes you can find bears where there are acorns.
Absolutely. In fact, acorns are their single most important food source of the year. White oak acorns in particular, just like a whitetail, they'll walk past a grove of red oaks to get to a pocket of white oaks.
Mm-hmm. Because of the protein and fat content, is that pretty much what we're talking about?
That is it. That's it in a nutshell. Huh?
No, nice.
Yeah, sorry.
I will hit you with that later. That's all right.
Yeah. There's a number of foods that they'll key in on, which really is why this whole mid-Appalachian region is so good for bears. If the acorns don't do well, hickory nuts, they love hickories, black cherries. There's a bunch of course, your apples and grapes.
Sure.
Beech nut. But then there are a couple of soft-mast species. Pokeweed, a lot of people are familiar with it. Deer seem to don't touch it.
What we call elderberries?
Well, no. It looks similar to an elderberry, but it's got a thick stalk, 6 to 8 feet tall, and it's purple up and down the stalk.
Well, that's the one. Yeah, pokeweed.
Yeah.
Okay.
Big black, purplish-black berries on it. And, you usually find it in disturbed areas like clear cuts or mm-hmm. power lines.
Sure.
But it's like ice cream to a bear.
Ooh, I like that, ice cream.
Yeah, so pokeweed, autumn olive, devil's walking stick that has panicles of berries like elderberry
mm-hmm.
at the top. I've seen them break devil's walking stick off, eat the ripe berries, and then keep coming back days after as the other ones ripen.
Wow.
Those are, the key is that this time of year, I try to tell hunters, it's a real advantage being able to hunt in October. Most seasons around are later than that.
Yeah, I think Pennsylvania is like the week of Thanksgiving.
It is. Yeah, yeah. That's right. The Saturday before Thanksgiving, mm-hmm. it comes in. And being able to, capitalize on that time when they are really focused. I mean, they may be spending up to 20 hours a day looking for food.
Wow.
At that time of year. So
stay on stand. Don't go back in the cabin for lunch.
That is absolutely right. I cannot tell you how many hunters I've had tell me they've had bear tracks going by when they came back from lunch.
Yeah, typical hunter.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Hey, I like my belly,
Yeah, well, yeah, sure. Well, what I tell everybody is, take a good salami, pastrami, and bacon sandwich out there to eat on deer stand.
That's right.
And, as long as you got a slice of tomato, a little mayonnaise and mustard on there,
Now you're talking.
Hey, you can't Can't help it if the bear happens to smell it.
There you go. Take enough to share. I say that jokingly.
Of course you do. Yeah, so yeah, that's been a conversation at Bear Camp a couple times. What are we going to take for lunch? I'm taking Lebanon bologna, and so bear. Speaking of that, bear baiting is not allowed.
That is correct. No baiting of bears, you've got to. For those of you that bait deer with corn, you cannot hunt over that corn pile either.
Right.
The hunter and the bear both have to be a minimum of 150 yards away from any deer bait.
And they will check.
And yes, NRP enforces it actively.
Yes, they do.
So, yeah, you definitely don't take a chance. You've got a big advantage being out there this time of year because those bears are moving anyway.
Sure they are. Sure. Yep. And, they cover a lot of ground pretty quickly.
There's
no question.
Absolutely.
No question about that. So, Harry, what have you found over the past 13, 14 years as far as the most effective hunting technique? I mean, do guys actively go out and walk and look for bears? Do they sit in a stand all day? What's the
guys do it all, and we, as you know, we survey the hunters that participate, and by far the most successful technique is stand hunting. So either in a tree stand or in a ground blind and sit. If it were me, I would find that food source, and the best setup would be that food source adjacent to thick cover, and then get up there and just sit as long as you can. I would sit sun up to sundown, because those bears, the majority of the bears are taken in the evening hours.
Yes.
Last hour and a half, 2 hours of daylight.
Right.
But there are bears taken all day long.
Sure.
That time of year, so just... Like you said, take a sandwich, make sure you're comfortable and sit.
Got it. Where's the, in the western two counties, I know where the check-in station is in Garrett County, but if I want to hunt Frederick and Washington County, where's the bear check-in in those counties?
Okay, we're doing a little bit of a different system there. And as you know, everybody that's selected gets a bear hunter's guide, so
right.
It has all this in it. But the bear check, we've got a bear check station in Garrett at the Mount Nebo Wildlife Management Area.
Right.
In Allegheny at the Bill Meyer Wildlife Management Area.
Right.
Those are manned all 4 days, 8 in the morning till 8 at night, and we gladly stay later if we know the hunters are
working up there. Somebody's bringing in a bear. And I know those early seasons when guys were calling in and, you'd have to call in to see if you could hunt the next day and that type of thing,
Yep.
We are anticipating another two bears being checked in tonight.
That's right.
So, yeah. All right. Listen, been there, done that. So
in Washington, Frederick County, we have one right on the Washington, Frederick County line, at a state facility there at the fish hatchery, actually.
Okay.
But we only man it for the first 2 days of the season,
right?
Knowing that hunter participation drops off as the week goes on,
okay,
and in anticipation of not having nearly as many bears as the other two counties.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And then after that, a hunter can call us, and we'll have a roving check station, if you will.
Or, nice.
Yeah, we'll have either the hunter can meet us at the fish hatchery there, or our staff will call the hunter back and work out with him how best tag his bear.
That's great.
So we're trying to be efficient with our manpower and responsive to the hunters as well.
I was in touch with one of your fellows out of the Frederick office there, maybe in Thurmont or wherever he works.
Right.
And we had located a troubling bear who had actually cornered fellow's wife. Between the trash and the school bus shed. Mm-hmm. And talking to your guy, he said, well, I just put a bear trap in that area for a bear that's killing chickens.
Right.
And I said, wonder if it's the same bear.
So you're going to take a chicken sandwich.
Well, I might take a chicken sandwich. But the question is, I guess what happens when you have a problem bear, you do set a trap, and you catch one. What happens then?
What we typically do then is we aversively condition that animal, which is a nice way of saying we give it a real bad time.
Yeah.
Yeah, we will pepper spray it, and I will tell you, I would, in fact, I do, you know, put my life, you know, behind pepper spray. You know, I trust it wholeheartedly.
Right.
But it is the most abrasive thing that you can do to a bear, I think.
Wow.
So we'll pepper spray it in the trap, and then we let it out, and then we shoot it in the butt with rubber buckshot.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you let it out of the trap on site?
We do. We do not relocate them.
Okay.
We've found over the years that relocation does not work. We've relocated them 100 miles, nearly 100 miles, and had them return.
Yep.
You know, bears have a wonderful homing ability. They'll come right back.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other issue is, you know, I don't want to take a problem from one backyard and put it
in somebody else's
backyard.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So we've learned, we've been doing this since 1996,
sure.
This aversive conditioning, and we've learned that most of the time it's effective. Sometimes some bears are stubborn, so are some people. You know, the real key usually is there's an attractant causing an issue. If you clean that attractant up, usually that takes care of the issue.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll work on the bear and work with the people
right.
at the same time and try and get whatever the attractant is cleaned up and,
mm-hmm.
and teach the bear. It's tough love. Teach him that it's, you know, it's not good to hang around people. It's been pretty effective.
I have a question, though.
Yeah.
How do you teach people not to hang around bears?
You know, that's the tough one. Maybe I'll have that figured out by the time I retire. I'm not sure.
Well, it seems like, you know, we watched a video the other day where these guys are out barbecuing, and the bear comes by and is trying to actually take the chicken or the steak off of the barbecue grill.
Oh, my.
And they're standing up and waving at the bear, and the bear grabs the steak off the grill, and the guy grabs the steak from the bear.
Oh, my. That's just
suicidal.
Good sense. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. But, I mean, they, you know, they're yelling at the bear, and the bear says, you know, look, I smell something here, and I want it. And the guy, they were just trying the best. Rather than shut the lid on the barbecue grill,
right.
You know.
Or just let them have it and walk away.
Or let them have it and let them walk away, because that's how they feed. I mean, they'll take a piece and go back and go away, and then they'll try to
come
back.
Yeah, but if a bear is bold enough to go up to the grill, I'd venture to say that's a habituated bear.
Yeah,
somebody's been feeding intentionally.
Yes, probably so. So, but, you know, people are just not that smart around these wild animals. I don't know if they've been influenced by, you know, television or all these animal nature shows. We'll just call them nature shows.
You say that was caught on camera. You know, tongue-in-cheek, I've thought for a long time that the presence of a camera reduces your IQ by at least 10 points.
So does the presence of a lot of beer.
Very true.
Yeah. Last words of a redneck. Hey, y'all, hold my beer. Watch this. I'm going to take that steak from that bear.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think you're right. But you know what? They're a big, dangerous animal, and they can hurt you.
Yeah, and the thing is, they're powerful. I mean, our track record with bears has been really well. I find that bears are extremely tolerant of people.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't have to be aggressive to hurt you. They're a big, powerful animal. So
that's true.
You've got to show some common sense.
Sure, sure. I mean, I wouldn't go up against a 150-pound bear. You know,
Well, you know, we make our living crawling into dens and pulling these critters out, and you know, you learn a real respect for these animals, and you see what they can do, how fast they can run, how strong they can be. I mean, a 150-pound bear will flip over a 400-pound bear-proof trash container like it's nothing.
Sure, sure.
It may take three or four guys to put it back in place, and a small 150-pound bear, roll it right over.
You know, it's a shame that the season is so early, because I would really like to reenact a Meshack Browning event where you crawl into a bear den with a flintlock rifle and a knife to take that bear.
Yeah, that would I don't know. Somebody else can do that. You're welcome to do that. I'm happy to use a dart gun and do it that way.
right. Hey, buddy, we got to take our second break. So this is rolling right along. So we're doing good. So yeah. let me tell the folks about our friends at Clyde Sports Shop, located down there in Lansdowne, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road. If you're going bear hunting, they got the firearms to take care of it for you. That's for sure. They've got that nice combo. That's the AB3, Browning A-Bolt 3 Hunter. It comes in either wood or synthetic stock. It's called a value package. It comes in a lot of good calibers, like 243, you know, for the kids and the women. It's 7mm 08, 308, Great Bear cartridge, 270, 30-06, 7mm Remington Mag, and 300 Win Mag if you want to take it, you know, on your Western adventure if you'd like. The AB3, it also comes with a Nikon Buckmaster 4-12x40 BDC rifle scope already installed. It's a great value package, and you can find that at Clyde Sports Shop. It's a really good price on a high-powered centerfire rifle. Now, if you want to take a step up, go to the X-Bolt. Very accurate, extremely accurate, big game hunting perfection. All standard, all Magnum, all short Magnum calibers are available with adjustable feather trigger, a detachable rotary magazine. It's good to go. If you're waterfowlers, I'm going to tell you about the BPS pump. 410, 28, 20, 16, 12, and even 10-gauge models available in the BPS pump. It comes in Mossy Oak Breakup Infinity Camo. Bottom ejection is what the claim to fame is with the BPS. It comes with 3 Invector Plus choke tubes, and even 12 and 20-gauge rifle barrel deer models are available. Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just up Beltway Exit 9. Their phone number, 410-242-6108 for Browning Firearms and everything else that comes along with hunting, fishing, and the great outdoors. Celebrating 60 years this year, that's Clyde Sports Shop. We'll be right back after this.
WCBM, Baltimore.
Good news in the tropics with Jose and Maria staying far enough east off the coast to not provide any worrisome impacts like north wind for us this afternoon. And first official weekend of fall is going to feel warm here in Baltimore with upper 80s for this afternoon. Mid-60s for tonight, upper 80s near 90 tomorrow. Sunshine close to 90 degrees on Monday. Tuesday, sunshine low to mid-80s. And really not until late next week that we see some cooler numbers, more seasonable temps. I'm Scott Laurie Moore, the Weather Channel for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
This is Alan Ellis for Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex spray-on bedliners. Linex spray-on bedliners are rated number 1 and carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, crabbing, and hunting gear can't hurt it. Choose the Linex Premium or the Linex Extra. Both look great. Bay Linex and Catonsville Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, you get it. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex bedliner and truck gear accessories. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. 410-789-0199. 410-789-0199. Catonsville Linex. New location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill, just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford. 410-455-0800. 410-455-0800. Linex.
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg is taking care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Well, in North Carolina, way back in the hills, lived my old pappy and he had him a steel. He brewed white lightning till the sun went down. Then he'd fill him a jug and he'd pass it around. Mighty, mighty pleasing, pappy's gone squeezing. Ooh, white lightning.
Hey, we're back with Harry Spiker, the Blue Project leader. What is your official title?
Actually, my official title is Game Mammal Section Leader.
Game Mammal Section Leader.
Yeah, I also work with fur bears and dabble a little bit in the deer project, although we've got two wonderfully dedicated deer biologists that handle the bulk of that.
Guess what? Brian will be on the next hour of the show.
Great.
Brian Eiler.
Yep.
So we got a lot to talk about here. So coming up here on the final segment, you get a question. What can I use for bear? What's effective to use for bear?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. The regulations basically state that anything that's legal to hunt deer, you can use for bear.
Okay.
But I can tell you, I've broken down and looked at everything used over the years, and by far the most popular hunting implement, as you might guess, is the 30-06.
Right.
We've had way more bears taken with a 30-06 than anything else.
Sure. A bear's not a difficult animal to kill if you put the shot placement in the right place.
Shot placement is key.
Yep.
And what you don't want to do is don't, you know, a lot of deer hunters like to take that neck shot.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do that on a bear.
Not on a bear, no.
So much mass in that neck and
yep.
such a small vital area. Same with a head. Their skull is really hard and
sure.
curved. Excuse me.
Yeah, you can ricochet a bullet right off of that.
Absolutely.
At a bad angle, let's
yeah.
put it that way.
Yeah,
so.
Absolutely. Yeah. And with an archer, for those, you know, and we've had bears taken with, you name it, we've had them taken, you know, rifle, muzzleloader, archery equipment, including traditional bows that have been handmade by the people that have used them. You know, crossbows are really gaining in popularity. It
sure.
seems like over the last several years, of particularly women and children.
Sure,
you know they're very lethal.
Sure. Well, I took my first bear in New Brunswick with a 12-gauge shotgun.
Mm-hmm.
I took my second bear with a CVA muzzleloader with a 400-grain ball,
yep.
you know, power belt bullet.
Yep.
I took my third bear in Maryland with a 300 Winchester Magnum. However, that bear was a 200 yards.
Right.
And my landowner insisted that I not take anything smaller. I said,
okay.
you know, can I take my 270 because I love it. It's accurate and it's, you know, I just love that rifle. He said, no, bring the 300.
So. Yeah, he was a bit of a firearm aficionado. And as I recall, he had some Wildcat you know, cartridges, you know, some custom stuff.
He had a 375 Weatherby Magnum.
Yes, he did.
I mean, a big hole in a bear.
Yeah, yeah.
And they didn't go far.
No, I'll bet it did not.
No, I was on the scene when Ed shot two of the six bears that he killed in Maryland.
Right.
You know, I think he holds a record, too, doesn't he?
You know, I haven't looked at it, but it would not surprise
yeah,
me.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
he loved bear hunting.
He did. He did. And he was a great man, a conservationist,
yeah.
worldwide. Hunter, traveler, I mean, I'm sure you've been in this place.
Actually, I haven't. I mean, I've spoken to him on numerous occasions.
Really?
I never did make it in there. I hear it's something to see.
It is something to see. No question about it. The 32-inch rhino, the full mount polar bear up in the eaves on an iceberg.
Wow.
The 10-foot Russian grizzly bear.
Yep.
Or brown bear. Yeah, he's got some critters. Killed three elephants in his life.
Yep.
None of them great. But all three of them were charging him.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah.
Wow, that's something great.
And if you want to see something impressive, you ought to see a shoulder-mount hippo.
Oh, wow.
In his basement.
That has to be a big basement.
Nicer than my house. But, you know. All right. Look, so any kind of rifle, I mean, you know, I would say something in the 30 caliber range is probably as adequate as you want to get. 30-06,
yeah,
300.
Any of your popular deer rifles, you know, yeah, 308, 30-06, 270.
It. Yep.
243, you know, we've had a
light.
Number taken with them, but it is a little light, you know,
yeah.
for a kid maybe. We've had a couple. We've even had a couple taken with a 223, but I know of one that was hit and got away
yeah.
with a 223, so I would not recommend that.
I have a friend. As a matter of fact, the guy that was the best man at my wedding when I married Kathy shot a bear up in central Pennsylvania. They drove him, and he was
right.
one of the drivers, and a
right.
big bear came by, and he shot it with a 243.
Yep.
And tracked it, and tracked it, and tracked it. And snow on the ground, bleeding every step of the way. He got out, and the bear got out into a clearing. Another guy shot it.
Yeah.
And
yep.
Mike said, "Look, you know, I've been tracking this bear." And the guy said, "Too late. My tag's already on it. I had no idea you'd shot the bear."
Yep.
You know, the 243 just did not do that. job penetrate through that thick layer of fat. I mean, the hide's not all that thick, but the fat is what you really got to worry about.
And there's another, there's another reason to be concerned about that. You said his hat left a good blood trail. That's good, but bears oftentimes don't leave a blood trail.
A chunk
of fat will lodge in the hole.
Yep.
And the fur just soaks it up like a sponge.
Kind of like a sika deer for those of you who are sika deer hunters.
So, yeah, definitely. And, you know, people ask me, and 9 times out of 10, my advice is take whatever you're comfortable with. I know guys from more urban parts of the state or suburban parts of the state where it may be shotgun only, and guys want to buy a high-power rifle to come out west. And I tell them, don't do that. Use that shotgun you're comfortable with.
Sure.
Because shot placement is the key.
Absolutely. No question about it.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah, the one I shot at, you know, with the 12-gauge, 15 yards, that was it. You know, so.
Absolutely.
Exactly. Well, good. I mean, you know, now we talked off the air about the Flint, the fellow that took one on the flintlock, Dave Seacott. He's taken 2 bears in Maryland. Number 0001, which was a small sow, first one ever shot in 50-some years, from Dorchester County, and then he killed a 350-some pound sow with a flintlock.
Yeah, and that is huge for a female bear. 350 pounds is just huge for females. They just don't get as big as males typically.
At 10 yards.
And at 10 yards with a flintlock. Yeah, that's pretty impressive. And,
what do you do for a second shot, Dave?
Yeah.
If you need one, follow up with my Bowie knife.
That's right. Knife in his teeth.
That's it. But, or know how to climb a tree quickly.
Yeah, he made that shot count. Good
he did.
For him.
He did.
And that was on public land in Western Maryland.
Yes, it was. You talked about public land, and plenty of public land in all 4 of those Western counties, like you said.
Yep.
And you know, if you do your research and you look at some of the public land out there, just about all of it has bears.
Yes.
In the 4 Western counties. So.
Yes, definitely.
Indeed. So very good. Harry, we've got 5 minutes. Let's talk a little bit about safety.
Yeah. We've had a great safety record with the hunt since 2004. I can't think of any bad safety incidents during the bear hunt.
Nope.
I appreciate that. One of the things that we've done out here in Western Maryland, if you bow hunt deer in Western Maryland during the bear season, you need to wear fluorescent orange.
Correct.
So you know, be mindful of that. Overall hunting safety has been pretty good in recent years. So.
Look, I don't want to wear anything that looks like a bear. Seriously, I've heard of Pennsylvania hunters who have been sitting on the ground, moving their foot back and forth, and somebody shoots them through the sole of their foot during bear season.
Yeah, I hadn't heard that. But,
when I was a kid, somebody was killed like that.
Oh, my.
Yeah. And so, you know, bears are very dark creatures, and wearing black on a bear stand is not a good idea at all.
Absolutely.
Unless it's covered up with orange.
Good advice.
Yeah. So, you know, just be very careful out there. And if you're in a ground blind, make sure it's marked well.
Yep. And a ground blind's got to have orange outside of it.
Exactly.
Yep.
Exactly. And bears, like deer, are colorblind. They can't see the orange. It looks like a shade of gray to them, just like it does with a deer.
Doesn't bother them a bit.
Doesn't bother them one bit. But what does bother bears is a unusual smell.
Yes. Which, I'll tell you what, is actually a... You know, a lot of guys deer hunt, a bear's nose is even more sensitive than a deer's.
Mm-hmm.
So keep that in mind. And another good reason to, either hunt from a tree stand, get your scent up, or in a ground blind helps contain your scent.
Exactly.
Speaking of tree stand safety, you know, that tree stand falls from tree stands are the number one hunting-related accident.
That's true.
So please be careful.
Wear your harness.
Wear your safety harness from the time you leave the ground until the time you get in the tree.
Exactly.
I've got 2 children that I'm teaching to hunt, and neither one of them gets a step off the ground without being buckled in.
Yep. Good idea. Absolutely. It's it can be dangerous out there, but it can be very, very, very rewarding. And, you know, you just have to keep that frontmost in your mind that, you know, you're at an elevated position. You hit the ground. It's harder than you are. You're going to break something. You're going to hurt something. A friend of mine fell last year in deer season, 25 feet.
Oh, my.
Broke his pelvis, was in shock trauma for weeks.
Yeah, that's just painful.
I've had other people fall and land on their feet, break their ankles. I had one fellow that you know well from up in Garrett County now. He does some guiding up there for black bears.
Yep.
Fell out of a tree stand twice in his life. One, because the steps were cut by somebody who didn't want him on, you know, to hunt nearby, basically an animal activist. The other one was on an icy wooden platform. He slipped, and when he fell directly on a stump.
Yep.
And you know who I'm talking about. And it entered at the top of his thigh into his buttocks.
Oof.
And, he was in a wheelchair for probably 8 months.
Long time.
Yep.
But he's back out there now. Good for him.
Back out there now. Yep. Talked to him the other day. So.
Good.
Yep. But, we definitely have to keep everybody safe out there in the woods, and we appreciate you talking about it. So, Harry, we're at the end of the hour.
Yeah.
And I want to thank you for coming and joining us today and giving us some great insight on the Maryland bear season and how to hunt, what to use, and great encouragement that our population is growing and thriving. And, you know, hunting is, quite frankly, and Route 68 are the two best means of controlling the bear population.
Absolutely, yeah. I appreciate the time, Alan. I'll just add, for those that haven't tried it, bear hunting is quite the adventure. Next August will be the next application time for a permit. So.
Exactly. And don't forget to get your bear scored. You can go online, bucks-bears-stags.com, and send us a little entry form, and we'll make arrangements to come and score your bear. How's that? Harry, thanks for joining us.
Yes, sir. Have a good day.
You too, buddy. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Friends are nice to have.
My friends.
Friends.
But do your friends give you instant news alerts, traffic and weather info, or exclusive contests?
That's what friends are for.
I got friends.
Thank you for being a friend.
Friending and following us on Facebook and Twitter gives you all that and more.
You got what I need.
We could be BFFs. Just click on the links. AM 680, WCBM.com.
Long time no see, buddy. How's it going? When did you get back?
Hey, good to see you. I've been home for almost a year, just trying to adjust and get back into the swing of things.
Well, it looks like you've been busy. I always see those pics you post of you and your family at all those events. What gives?
Oh, yeah. Vet Ticks. Vet Ticks gives.
What's Vet Ticks?
Vet Ticks is an awesome charity that gives free event tickets, you know, like concerts and sporting events and shows, to currently serving military and vets, including immediate family of troops killed in action. You wouldn't believe how these events have helped me adjust to being back. Just like a good time that I could have with my family, and you know, all these new happy memories we're making are priceless.
And it's nice to know that people appreciate your service and your sacrifice.
Yeah, it is.
Listen, I've actually got extra tickets. Can I donate them?
Yeah, it's easy. Just go to vettix.org. It's a great site. You could give your extra tickets and other vets like me could sign up to get them.
Cool. I'm on it, buddy. Good to know you're back. And hey, thank you for your service.
Did you just look down at your phone? You did it again, didn't you? You know, you're flying down the road in a 3-ton hunk of steel, and a text takes your eyes off the road for an average of 5 seconds. At 55 miles per hour, that's long enough to travel the length of a football field and cause some serious damage. Turn it off. Trust me. Whatever it is, you'll live.
Learn more at StopTextStopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Hi, I'm Joe Nichols, and I'm getting the word out about a fatal and under-recognized medical condition that sadly took my dad. He developed idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis, or IPF, a rare lung disease causing permanent scarring of the lungs, making it increasingly difficult to breathe. My dad lost his fight at 46. It took years for my dad to get diagnosed, which is not uncommon, because the telltale symptoms of IPF, breathlessness from mild physical activity and a dry, persistent cough, are often confused with more common illnesses like COPD or asthma. Music is a big part of my life, so I'm teaming up with Musicians on Call, an organization that brings music right to the bedsides of patients in hospitals. We want everyone with IPF to get the help they need. So if you or someone you love has symptoms of IPF, talk to a doctor now. You may be referred to a lung specialist for a diagnosis and treatment. An early diagnosis can help people with IPF treat their condition earlier. Help me spread the word. Visit breathlessipf.com.